Okay, everybody say, about to begin a brand new sugya on Daf Tesla. So comes the Gemara and quotes a braisa, very, very cryptic braisa on Daf Tesla days. Tanya Rabbanan, beginning of the Gemara. Kol shechafte b'shmirasai, v'chshat yis nisko. Any case that I was responsible to watch and it ended up not doing a good job and ended up damaging, I'm chayav to pay. Keitza. Shor bo shemasov v'cher shev v'kotem v'ziku chayav v'sham. If I hand over an ox or a pit to a chayav shev v'kotem, not the most responsible people to hand things over to, and lo and behold, not surprisingly, damage happened, they have to pay. Hashem ke be'esh. But if I have a similar thing that I handed over a fire to a chayav shev v'kotem, that I'm okay with. That I don't have to pay. So what's the case? What's going on? May I ask you then? If you're dealing with an ox that was really tied up properly and a boar that's really covered properly, so the equivalent would be like a coal, which is basically dimmed anyway, it's basically extinguished anyway. Why is there some arbitrary difference between a shore and an ash? Now, it must be we're talking about the shore, motzar, boar, magula. It must be that the shore is unlocked, it's untied, and the pit is uncovered. So then the parallel of Eish would be, again, a live flame. Hand a torch that's burning. Why should I be potter? But the only time I'm potter is if I gave him a coal. The coal was basically extinguished, and the kotter went ahead and relit it. That's not my problem. If I give him Hamish a flame, of course I'm chayav. My time to bury his ache, everyone knows damage is going to happen. So the bottom line is we have absolutely no idea why is there a difference, why is there an arbitrary difference, why am I more responsible for the shore and the boar than I am for the age. So the Gemara father gives the answer. Li'aylam, b'shur kosher boar mechusa. So the reality is the case is the ox is tied down, the pit is covered, it's covered, so it's going to be and the parallel would be with the age, I gave him a coal. But the Gomer's ma'ishna ocha. So why mechayev ta'acha? If I gave a pit to a child to watch, but the pit's covered already, or I gave an ox to a child, the ox is tied down, why am I chayev? So the Gemara says, you know why I'm chayev? Shor darkel in a tuke, bor darkel in a turei. That even though I tie down the ox tends to get loose. Even though I cover the pit tends to uncover. And it's that reality that I'm responsible to make sure that pit doesn't get uncovered. That's ultimately what's the mechayev. So I can't differentiate. So we're going to focus more on the pit than on the ox right now. We're going to focus on this phenomenon, this statement of Chazal, that here I have a pit, and I cover the pit really nicely. Okay, pit's covered, and I leave a little child, little person. I'm a big person. Okay, and I say to the little kid, "You hang around here, keep an eye on this pit for me." And you know what the Gemara says? If something happens, I'm chayev. You know why? Because it's within the realm of reality that this pit is going to be uncovered. And that's my problem. That's my responsibility. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So Rashi has a comment on this Gemara. Rashi explains to you, what does that mean? That it's darka b'kach l'neturei. What does that mean? What do the words mean? So Rashi writes, Limpole, the pit cover is going to fall out by itself anyway. Hukach shmira rahi. Therefore, the shmira, or the lack thereof that I just performed, is not sufficient. Even at the end of the day, the kid, the cheresh, was the one who uncovered it. That the basic mechayev is that I set up a pit that will potentially become uncovered. Not because of anything the child did. Rashi was very clear. The child wasn't even the one who pulled the trigger on this one. He didn't necessarily uncover the pit. I set up a case that the pit would have, what? That the pit would have uncovered by itself, even though at the end it didn't uncover by itself. It was the kid who uncovered it. I'm still chayav to pay. I can't give it Rashi. So I just have one simple question to ask Rashi. It's not my question, it's the Rishon's question to Rashi. One very simple question. Forget the kid for a second. Okay, imagine the kid. He's a little kid. He's fast asleep. We're not even addressing him right now. How well is this pit covered? So I put a covering on this pit. How good is that? Forget the child. What kind of a covering is that? What do I mean by that? The Mishnah later on, the fifth parak, tells us there are basically two different ways to cover pits. What are they called? Kisei what? Or kisei what? Karoi or shalo karoi. So the Mishnah says, if you cover a pit karoi, then you're good to go. Then you know. Then you're not responsible anymore. If you cover a pit shalo karoi, that's like not covering. So imagine there's a manhole, and I put on a manhole cover, a good metal solid cover, kisei karoi. Imagine there's a manhole there, and I put a shopping bag on top of the manhole. So that's probably shalo karoi, because the first ox that walks there is probably going to fall right through the shopping bag. So I just wonder what the case is. Give me a case. Was this karoi? Was this shalo karoi? Any ideas?
So according to Rashi, it would have to be shalo karoi.
So the pashtus in Rashi sounds like shalo karoi. It sounds like the guy was a miserable pashaya from day one. That's what it sounds like, right? Because Rashi's describing that whether the kid's there or not there, it's going to the pit may uncover anyway. That's a very, very shalo karoi type of a description. That's the pashtus of Rami Rashi. What's the problem with Epsha? What's the technical, what's the technical, textual problem with Epsha?
Obviously.
What do I need the brisa? What else do I not need? What do you need the kid for? So that tells us cash. That's just what's going on here. Pirush Rashi. A filo below cheirish, dakel and tukim elam. Chayim bor, dakel and tukim elam. Bekosha. Diab korga bekosha kiseo karoi, myri. Of course he tied it normally. Because if he didn't tie it normally, what's Tosfos implying? So then, what do I need this obra? What do I need the kavod test for? I have a whole mishnah on the fifth paragraph that says, kiseo shlo karoi yichayev. What do we need the kid for? So what's Pshat and Rashi? So the Shit B'Kabat says, in the third of the Mamakrams quotes, Rashi means this follows. V'yeshloim ha'dim shuvachit, the second line, ain't on yichol nistapeh shrashi zel. The matzirin l'meim ha'dahat dinochat masal l'cher shed v'kotan, v'shum seifa d'mash ein keim ba'esh. The yafal pish ha'masal l'cher shed v'kotan, the garbach, if you look, he put the baby shum d'ma'am yadka. What does the Gilyon of the Shit B'Kabetza say? It says, Inochinami, that the pit here is covered shalo karo'oi. And the answer is, what do I need the kid for? What's the answer? You don't. And the first half of the Braisa is just Kipshito. You did a lousy job covering it. It's Kiseo Shlo Karoi. The Braisa is paraphrasing what the Mishnah says in the first prayer. Kiseo Shlo Karoi is not going to get you off the hook. So why does the Mishnah Kibraisa confuse us by sticking the little child here? Because we need the child for the end of the Braisa. For the end of the Braisa, it talks about a case of Eish, and the Braisa says, I'm in fact potter. I would have thought, if I would just leave a coal around the street, that's not so terrible. Now I understand I'm potter. But I give a coal to a kid, kids like to play with coals, there's an odds, he's going to poshka around with a play with a blow on a little bit and get it to burn. So I would have thought, I'm chayav, kamash malon, even there I'm potter. So the kid is not there for the boar, the kid is in the waiting, he's really there. His star role is in the case of the Eish. But in terms of the boar, the first half of the Braisa, what's the chiddush of the first half of the Braisa? Absolutely nothing. What a letdown this Braisa. Absolutely nothing. Kiseo Shlo Karoi is chayev, ayin tefechli. So the Ramban.
Isn't it a very clear chiddush? Is that it's not because you're Yishmiran giving it off to someone else. It's your Yishmiran covering it.
But I know that already. We know that from the fifth book already. We know that. Everybody knows that.
Well, no, because he's saying there's two Yishmiran that you're really
committing. But in the fifth prayer of Bakam, it says explicitly, if you own a boar and you cover it in a lousy way, you put a piece of cellophane, you know, place a piece of garbage bag on top of a 30 feet deep pit, you're not going to get off being compounded for that. That's exactly what it says in the Thessalonians. So comes the Ramban and says, I can't believe that's what Rashi said. There's no way in the world that this is a flimsy cover that Shlo Karoi, because then the Braisa would be absolutely superfluous. So the Ramban has to now bend over backwards to show you that the cover here is Mamish Karoi. And guess what? You're still what? You're still Chayav. Why are you Chayav? Let's think it through. The Ramban has a start. Anyone read through the whole Mechamas? Anyone start the Bukhamas yet? No? Not even start the Bukhamas Hashem yet? What's going on? Okay. Advice I, we'll start to walk you through a little bit. Anyone start the Sugi yet? I do about more already, okay. We're going to start with the Bukhamas. Comes the Bukhamas and he says, I'm going to tell you what's really going on in this sugya. It is so lomdish. There's such a yesod going on in this sugya. You just have to, you know, get rid of all the extraneous parts. Get rid of the little child, get rid of the cover. Figure out what the real lomdish is. Have you do the lomdish part? He says, when a mechasa something karo'oi, is that an absolute 100% finish the job? I have a pit, I covered it karo'oi, and now I can go to the Bahamas. I can leave for the next month. Says the Ramban, no. I don't think so, says the Ramban. Kisel karo'oi is not the great poter as you thought it was. Kisel karo'oi is not bad, provided that you do what? A little bit of maintenance. You don't have to sit there yom v'layla. You have to pop in occasionally to see, you know? It's like monitoring an Eruv, you know? It needs maintenance. You got to check it up. Just because you built a wonderful, fantastic Eruv doesn't mean that it's going to last forever. How are we supposed to be here? Sure. Right? Today's a regular day, right? So, comes the Ramban and says, merely covering your pit, even karoi, is not a potter of the blood. You have to monitor a little bit. And if you don't monitor it appropriately, what magic word are we going to call you? Give me the word. What are you? Peshaya. Okay? Now, imagine the following. Imagine I didn't quite monitor it keseder. Because after all, I gave it to my trusty three-year-old. So I didn't quite monitor it keseder. So I was a peshaya. But you won't believe it. What actually did this boar in, what actually destroyed the covering of this boar, was something really, really, really out of the ordinary. Something very, very unlikely. What was it?
Worms.
The kid. This kid, unbelievable. It's a cover, it's a mantle, it's an iron mantle cover. It weighs 100 pounds. The kid weighs 10 pounds. And he figured out a way, and he chopped the rind, and he snuck under it, and he pulled out. Some wild, crazy, sugar thing happened. You won't believe it. And the pit got uncovered. Never in my wildest dreams could I have thought of such a crazy thing could happen. Can you give me a halacha category for that, Rabbi Say? Oh, wait. You're combining the two halacha categories. So we had the first one we called Pshia. My going to the Bahamas was a Pshia, because I didn't stay around to check up to make the proper maintenance. That was a Pshia, clearly. But at the end of the day, it wasn't my lack of maintenance that didn't hit. It was the crazy thing of the kid uncovering the pit. That is called an Ones. So now let's connect the dots. What we have here is a tchiloso bipshia. Oh my goodness, v'sofo the ones. And what does the Gemara say about this? What does the Braisa say? Chayev, says the Ramban. This is a raya that tchiloso bipshia v'sofo ones is chayev. Wow. Now, if you never learned any other sugya in Bava Kamma or Bava Metzia, you think, wow, the Ramban made up this new phenomenon called Chilosom Shivsim. Wow, I never heard of such a thing. So then, when you realize that the Ramban didn't make it up, the Ramban was a Kabbalah Chadish, but even this he didn't make up, this is the sugya taken right out of Bava Metzia, after the days of the Aleph. The Gemara has a discussion about this very topic, about Chilosom Shivsim Yones, but it has nothing to do with what? Nothing to do with boars, nothing to do with Kitanim. Quite frankly, nothing to do with what? With mazik altogether. The Gemara discusses the same. This is a halachic principle now that's going to permeate other areas of halacha. What other areas of halacha do these terms, are these terms important to us? Besides classic mazik, what other area of halacha of chesher mishpat does pshia and oynes really, really matter to us? What? Hilchos shomrim, because we all know already that some shomrim achayev on certain degrees of oynes, all shomrim achayev on pshia, even shomrim achinim achayev on pshia. Pshia may even be a what? Don't tell anybody. It may even be an act of what? Quasi act of mazik, even. I think Rambam should bring some bells back last semester, right? Okay, good. So, chiloso, the pshia of the onus can now be plugged into a sugya of shmir, which is exactly what the Gemara does. So, Gemara tells a story that in Beis and Aleph, famous, famous story. How Gavra, 50 Rambam comes, how Gavra, Afka, Zuzu, Gabi, Chavra. So Reuben gave some money to his friend to watch. Osvinu betreifa de urbani. He decided to put it in a very, very creative hiding spot. He put it in a treifa de urbani. What's a treifa de urbani? Anyone figured out what it was? Some kind of little hut or something where the guy's out in the forest or hunting for the birds or something. If I saw a treifa de urbani, I wouldn't know what it was. I would walk right by it. But it's a treifa. It's like the famous book with Baruch Ber. That there's a sugya about a kurkuvah, the insides of a chicken. So there's no lamdish sugi about, you know, holes in the kurkuvah and a needle in the kurkuvah and a treifas and suffering treifas. Well, lamdish.
Next year.
And what?
Next year.
And somebody once brought a kurkuvah. He brought the pepper, he brought the stomach of the chicken, and they showed it to a baruch bear. And here he had such urim on the sugis of kurkuvah. If you never seen a kurkuvah, so you know what he said? Famous life of baruch bear. What did he say? This is the helig of kurkuvah. This is the holy kurkuvah. See kurkuvah? Disgusting. This is the helig kurkuvah. He was so enamored with the kurkuvah. So if I would be walking in the fields and the forest and I would bump into treif, the urbani, this is it. Membeizim and alaf and bavetziah. So what happened here? So Reuben gave Shimon the money to hide. He's tucked in the treif, the urbani. Now is that a good shmir or not? What do you think? Well, it depends for what. It's a gevaldik shmir for ganovim. You know why? Because no one would ever think that a guy stashed away cash in a tray for the orbiting. On the other hand, what's it a terrible shmira for? Forest fires, right? In the middle of forest, a wooden structure, in the middle of that's the disaster in the making. And you know what happened to the money? Ignov. So some guy, who was some, give me a good guy who hangs out in the forest. Come on. What's his name?
Robin.
I knew it. Robin, okay. What's his pal's name?
Little John.
Little John, okay. Robin and Little John. Little John was 7 feet or something, right? So Robin and Little John, okay, they're hanging out there and running away from the sheriff of where? Something like that, yeah. Right? I think so, yeah. Okay. So they're running around, stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, and they bump into some money stashed away in the church with the Urbani, and it was stolen. And now Shimon's furious at Reuben, and he said, I'm taking the entire, I want my money back. So we have to try to figure out, was he a Peshe or not a Peshe? So he was Shemechinim, Shemechinim's Patrick and Abel. I'm Rav Yosef. Alpha Gav L'inyan Gan Viniti Rusei, L'inyan Nura P'shiyusei. So Rav Yosef said that even though it's true that he did a great job for Geneva, it was really a crazy thing that this was stolen. This is not a result of his Peshe at all, but he was a Peshe vis-a-vis fire. Have it chalos b'shiv sof b'yoynes, and that's a big problem. Chayev. The ikad the amid, those who say Rav Yosef said the exact opposite. Alpha gav linin nup shiuzei, the gabi linin gav v'tirusei, chalos b'shiv sof b'yoynes potter. The hilchasot, the gemara paskins, chalos b'shiv sof b'yoynes chayev. Boom. So it's two lashonis in Rav Yosef, but the gemara is machriya chayev. Finish. Okay. So the Ramban sounds good. The Ramban sounds he's right on target. That since the gemara b'mitzia daf membeis and alf paskin, those paskin already that chalos b'shiv sof b'yoynes chayev. So the Ramban just took that Gemara, plugged it into Bor, and said the same story. It's a Pshia because he was negligent, not hanging around, just he disappeared for 6 weeks. But it was an Oinis because at the end of the day, the kid's the one who uncovered the pit. So this is a clear, classic application of Chalos Pshia Sof Yodis. The Ramban would not have written a piece this big, and this was only a small snippet of the Ramban. The Ramban would never have written a piece so big just to merely prove to you that we paskin like the Gemara in Daf Mem Beis in Maseches Bavitzi. The reason why the Ramban felt compelled to explain this Rashi and Daf Des and to show you why this is an acceptable, proper application of that principle is he is coming la'afuke to Baal HaMor, because the Baal HaMor turned the world upside down, and the Baal HaMor said, yes, it's true, Tchilas B'Shev Tzav Yonos is Chayev. Absolutely true. It's true in Kol HaTarakula. It's true in Shomrim. And it's true in Mazikin. And it's true in Baba Kama. It's true in Baba Tzia. It's true in Baba Basra. Al Adini HaTayr, it's true. With one exception. You know what the one exception is? Bor. Bor is not subject to that Din Kloli of Tchilas B'Shev Tzav Yonos being Chayev. Bor is the Yotze Min HaKlal. So the Ramban says, by the way, you're not right. Because you have a Raya Brewer from Rashi. I mean, Rashi didn't say it. This is Ramban's reading of Rashi. Says the Ramban, the way I just read into Rashi. So Rashi is telling you, philosophy of Sophia Yonis, it's not only Chayav in Kol Tarakula, but it's Chayav in Bor as well. So the Ramban used this Rashi and his reading into this Rashi to disprove the theory of the Balamah. Of course, we cannot even begin to appreciate the Rashi. You have to begin to appreciate the Ramban. So you can't appreciate the disproof until you understand what in the world the Baal HaMor said. So we would obviously have multiple questions. If I would just tell you this is the Baal HaMor sheet, that plus two or something that doesn't apply to Bor, we'd have to answer two levels. Number one, we'd have to figure out what in the world prompted the Baal HaMor to such a startling result. And even if we'll dig up a Gemara that maybe is a proof of the Balabor, if we can, I'm not sure we will be able to, but even al atzad that we do come up with a Gemara that's supporting the Balabor's theory, we would then have to ask another question, well, why should that be so? Why in the world would Chazal have come up with such a strange theory? Manishtan Abor from Kol Terakula. So we have a lot of work to do, and really the topic of this sug is, Chilas of Shiva Sofiyonis as it plays out in the details of Bor. The reason why we're learning on Daf Tes is twofold. Number one, because Rashi appears on Daf Tes, and it's the Ramban's shot in the Rashi that gets the ball rolling. And the second reason why we're learning it is because we're never going to make it Daf Nun Beis this time. So therefore, if we're not going to do it now, it's not going to happen, this Gilgul. So therefore, we want to learn this sugya through the eyes of Rashi, through the eyes of this Ramban, but we can't appreciate the Ramban until we understand. We have to understand where the Balamor got this seemingly strange theory from. And then, to give some understanding as to why the theory should be right, and then ultimately to appreciate why nobody else thought that same theory. So the Balamor did not say it in a vacuum. The Balamor said it to address a very, very, very difficult Gemara that appears in Bava Kamma on Daf Nun Beis. It is a Gemara that posed difficulty to all the Rishonim. It's only the Balamor who came up with his creative theory, his unique theory to it. But anyone have any ideas how many shittas we're going to come up with? Take a good guess of how to read this Gemara. So I think we have 7 or possibly 8, depending on how we count the last one, 7 or 8 different ways of reading this next cryptic Gemara. One of them is going to be the Balmor, and that's going to be the one we're going to address right now. And then, just to round out the sugi a little bit, we'll talk about the other 6 or 7 also. But the sugi is beginning with the Balmor and the Ramban's reputation of the Balmor. So it starts with the following, the 4th of the Ramakomis, in Bava Kamma Daf Nun Beis in the base. The Iboyalon, we had the following shayla. Kiseyu kisui shiyacholava b'fnei shvarim. So the intricacies of Bor. Again, the basic rule, what does the Mishnah say? Kiseyu karoy is potur, whatever that means. Kiseyu shlo karoy is chayav, whatever that means. So the guy couldn't even figure out how to do a kisui b'choladeus. This is what he does. He covers up the pit azoy. He covers it up in a way that it could support the weight of shvarim. How much does Shor weigh? And we know, don't do it. Whoever wants to Google quickly will find out for us later. Shor, your average Shor weighs, give me a ballpark number. 1,000 pounds.
2,000.
Oh, come on. Shor. You're going to tell it like, how many of me would like be a Shor?
2,400 pounds.
An average Shor?
Male bull, 2,400 pounds.
That's it? It's been a diet. Okay. 2,400 pounds. Okay, we'll give him, he's been in a couple of chassas. We will give him 2,500. It makes the number easy, okay? So you got a 2,500 pound bull. What was his name from yesterday? I forgot his name. Sonny. What was his name?
Sonny.
Yeah.
That was his name.
That wasn't nice. Yeah, he left. Okay, he ran away. Okay, well, give us the other guy's name. What was the other bull?
Oh, Hefe.
Hefe, okay. So I don't want to get either one of them. Okay, so we got Hefe weighs 2,500 pounds. That's a ton and a quarter, I think, is what I was thinking, okay? 2,500 pounds. So you have to go to the engineers. Who are you guys going for engineering? Anyone know anything about physics? No engineer? Okay, so you have to figure out what's an appropriate amount to safely cover a shore walking over this bar. So you got to figure out how much steel, how much support does a 2,500 pound bull need. So probably to be responsible, you probably have to up it up like to 3,000, because once in a while you get a guy who's having some, overweight. So yeah, you're in the ballpark. But 3,000, I think we're good the whole day. Right? We're good to go. Problem is, quick. It can't support your average camel. If the number is below that, we're in big trouble. Average male camel. Nah.
Yeah.
Average camel in Babylonia in the year. Bulls, yeah, the bulls must be falling. Babylonian bulls. I don't think you're gonna get that one. Okay, but we're gonna work for the assumption now. What do you got there?
2,200
for what?
A camel.
Yeah, 2,200 camels. When? You just told me it was 1,300. What happened?
It says between 1,320 and 2,200.
So it's definitely less than
I have a new theory, though. This is my new theory. What's bigger?
Ooh, a
You can have two camels at the same time on the same boar. Right? Aren't like shvarim like this big? Camels like this big? Good. Okay. How much weight can you have? Two camels. So we'll put together our math experts, our engineer experts, and our ancient Babylonian anthropologists, and we'll come to the conclusion that Chazal were correct, that you could have a boar that can support shvarim, but it can't support camels. Okay, good. So comes the Gemara, continues, and says, Ushchichei gemolim. It happens to be there are a lot of camels walking around. This is the middle of Saudi Arabia right now. There are a lot of camels walking around. So what is the Gemara telling us by telling us that piece of information?
Pshia with regards to Gemara.
So I'm a Pshia, like I'm a camel. So I can't get away with just making a cheapy cover for 2,500. I have to anticipate there are six camels standing here at the weight of 15,000, right? So if I don't do that, if I don't make that anticipation, I don't make that protection, so I'm a Pshia. But look what happens at the end. No camels come. No ox come. What happened? What happened? The worms come. It arose. I didn't put a piece of metal. I put a piece of strong wood. Eventually, after time, it started to, like the wooden sukkahs, after some time, you know, it starts to eat away. It starts not so strong anymore. The wood is not as good as it was. And then what happens, lo and behold, and then an ox walks by and boom, collapses in. And the Baal HaShor now comes and takes me to a dinter. So I say, you're taking me to a dinter? I said, what did they take me to a dinter for? It was an oynes. I'm going to know that the wood is going to deteriorate. It's so fech. It's oynes. On the other hand, what? What was I? That's too much for me. I was a peshaya, legabi, what? Gabi the gemol. So if you let's formulate it properly. I was a peshaya, legabi, camels coming. When the end of the day, the camels didn't really come, the worms came. The Gemara says, "Mi amrina migo davi peshel eitzel gemol." My peshel, now they didn't have tasla. Oh, duma lo amrina migo. So, do we say that migo that you were peshel legabe the camels? Everyone agrees you were peshel legabe camels. And if a camel would have come in and broken through and fallen, broken its neck, so you would have said yichayev. That was a no brainer. So, just as you're migo legabe that yichayev for the hislia, do I say you don't say migo? That's the Gemara shayla. Before you even get to the Gemara's answer to something already disturbing, what is already disturbing us?
This is a classic case.
Yeah, the way the Gemara is formulating is bizarre. Why didn't the Gemara say as follows? If you don't know yet that we passed in Chos of Shios, I'm not going to hold you responsible for that. The days of Rav Yosef didn't know that yet. There were two Lashon of Rav Yosef. So if you want to present this as a classic primary example of Chos of Shios, I'm fine with that. So you should have said that. You should have said, Mal. Chilas b'shiv sof yonis chayav, or chilas b'shiv sof yonis potter. You want to say take because you don't know the answer. You want to say toshma mitreif the urbaning because of day. But even the very wording of the Gemara is bizarre because the Gemara doesn't seem to be talking the same language that we used to, even though it sounds like it's an identical scenario. So that's the first thing that strikes us. Okay, you know, we'd probably get over that. Toshma, the Gemara will bring it right. Toshma. A regular pit, a regular, normal, uncovered pit. I have a pit. I dug a pit in the middle of the street. I'm a pesher gomer. And your animal, a perfectly healthy, normal animal, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, falls into the pit. Chayv v'potter. Why am I potter? Should look where it's going. What did it fall into the pit for? What's doing it? It's looking to Elvis. How you didn't do that? Why do you look where it's going? It's not my problem. When am I chayev a boar? I'm chayev if it was a little baby shorn. It couldn't process. It was too sophisticated. It wasn't sophisticated enough to see that there's a hole there. It was a shite there. It was a chayrish. It was a blind shorn. It was the middle of the night. Those are cases where the Baal HaBoy Yishalem. But if it's broad daylight and the animal's perfectly healthy and it fell itself into a 10-foot pit, that's not my problem. It's just the shore's problem. So it says, V'yamai, neima midahavi peshea lin cheresh. By digging the pit, I'm a peshea. So how can I hide behind and say it's not my fault that the healthy animal fell into the pit? What does that mean when I say it's not my fault? What's that a code phrase for? You know what that's called? How could I turn around to the Baal HaShor and say, It's an oinus that your animal fell. It's not my fault. How can I say that? The other guy should turn around and say, "Migo da avi peshea leinyan cheresh avi peshea leinyan pikeach." Alav shmamino zaman fundo. You see, from here, loyam mina migo shmamino. So the Gemara says that just as we don't say you were peshea legavi the shor cheresh, so then automatically we make you pay for the onus of a pikeach. We don't say that. The Mishnah says you're potter. So see from here that lo amrinan migo, that you don't connect the dots. You don't say migo, but pesheya, the Messiah for Aynes. So too, the Gemara says, you don't say migo the Gemalim. Who had in the Yechayev migo, you should be chayev eslim mitocho. And the Gemara concludes. Now, this is not just a textual problem, this is already a halachic problem. Why? Because here the Gemara is coming to the conclusion which is incorrect based on the conclusion of Daf and Beis and Aleph. Now nobody connects the dots in the Gemara. How come the Gemara doesn't stop itself in Daf and Aleph? I'm sorry, Daf and Beis and Bamitzia. Well, stop itself in Daf and Beis and Babakam and say, wait a second, wait. Do you say Migo? Do you not say Migo? Esve, Ravino, Ravashi, do you say Migo? Nobody. The Gemara finishes in Bava Kama Daf Mem Beis. The curtain goes down. Everyone's happy, except for the coward that has to pay. But says, "Lo amin amigo." There's no amigo. No amigo. And the Gemara Bava Tzia Daf Mem Beis. Daf Mem Beis says, "Chivas Yosef Yonis." For Hilchos says Chayiv. So how come the Gemara is not talking the same language? And worse than that, the Gemara is concluding the wrong conclusion. This is the Gemara that prompted the Balmor to his Chiddush. It's this Gemara, that's all there is. This was the Gemara that forced the Balamor's hand. So comes the Balamor. The long Balamor. Last two lines of Balamor. You're probably wondering why I put the first 20 lines on, because we're going to talk about that a lot more. But for right now, Tapirik Shinir Alanu, Bor is different. Nishtana Bedin Chilas Bashir Vesef Vienes, Felagamina Minela Dinachmina. Says the Balamor, Bor is different. So great. So we found the Gemara that prompted the Balamor to say Bor is different. But why is Bor different? Conceptually, why is Bor different? So the Balamor makes reference to a sugya that appears also in the fifth paragraph of Baba Kama. I don't know if anyone looked up the Gemara that Balamor was quoting. But the Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Baba Kama comments on three words, the words we spoke about yesterday, Vahameis Yelo. It says Vahameis Yelo, and Vahameis Yelo is the source for what din? Remember from yesterday? That you put the four. How many times in Chumash does it say Vemesi Yelom? Twice. One by one and one by what? One by born, one by shore. So the Teshuva Peh says, Gemara Fri Peh Mabakama says, that phrase Vemesi Yelom by born is the source for two of Sulem Adoshin, and by shore it's not true. If your shore is Mazik, of Shore of Sulem Adoshin, you have to pay. I give out Keshrigin, it says Vemesi Yelom. Nah, that means something else. That's the source of by the top of the Nevela, Pchastel Nizam. Those are sugars later on Daf Yud. But the Ptur of Psuli Abogdoshin only was said vis-a-vis the din of Bor, not vis-a-vis the din of Shor. So Gemara is Tekasha. How do you know? Like Mechatei say, you have a phrase in Meisielo. You have this Ptur floating around, and it's going to go on one of the two, not on both. Only one of the two. How do you know? How do you know whether Bor or Shor, which is a more chumradika mazik? Is Bor Mochumid the Gemazik or Shor Mochumid the Gemazik? We need who? Who do we need? Only one person we need right now. We need Weinbach, right? We need him to tell us quickly which way does this carry go? Which is Mochum or which is Mochal? Because it's hinging, everything, the whole world is hinging on this. Is Psula Magdashin going to apply, is the Ptur going to apply to Bor or to Shor? You tell me. So Gemara thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. Does the Gemara say anyone know? Or says Bor is much, much Mochal. So kal, Bor so kal. You know why? Because Malavor, Shekin, what? Potabas a Kalim. And if your name's Rabbi Huda, don't even talk. Malavor, Shekin, Potabas a Kalim. That's it. That's it. That's the Kaveh. Bor is its own, it is so kal. so lenient. Shapata bosa kelim. Therefore, we can extrapolate if it's kal vis-a-vis kelim, it's kal vis-a-vis psulam mekdashim as well. That's all the Gemara says. And the Balamor just took the Gemara and ran with it and made one step further. What did the Balamor say? Well, if it's so kal agave kelim, and if it's so kal agave psulam mekdashim, then guess what? You know what else is so kal agave? Lagabe what? Chilas v'shiv sof yonis. That the buck stops here. Chilas v'shiv sof yonis just doesn't apply to what? Does not apply to what? Because after all, we have precedent in halacha that it's so kal. It's obviously so kal. So it must be kal. Lagabe chilas v'shiv sof yonis also. And that's the background for the sugya adaftan beis, says the Balmor. Comes around Ban and says, I can't believe what the Balmor just said. What's the problem with the Balmor just said? The Balmor just connected the dots. He says, well, Kalim, that's a kula, and Suliha Mugdoshin, Suliha Mugdoshin, right, that's a kula, and therefore, Tchilaso, Bepshia, Bechule, that's also, should be a kula. Because we're very makil, we're very lenient rabbis, very, very open-minded rabbis. We're not too strict on the people. We don't want to have any chumras. We don't want anyone to accuse us of being, you know, doing anything negative. And we want everyone to think that we're loving, wonderful people. So we want everybody to be happy, right? That's our job, correct? Okay, so we're so makil. So I'll throw in another good kula for good luck. Says about that's what the Gemara said. That's what the Gemara said, that all coolers, boar is cooler season. That's what the Gemara said. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, I have a word, Bames Yellow, and I don't know which one to plug it into. I know that one of them is Potter because of Psalm Dasha. I know this dim, Psalm Dasha is Potter, one of the two. I don't know which one to go to, so I have a choice between shore and boar. Where do I plug it into? Plug it into the more lenient of the two. So up for boar rather than shore. Where in the world do you see in that Gemara that Chasam Shir Sof Yonis doesn't apply because boar is very makel? Nothing applies. Once there's a kula, so all of a sudden there's a kula in one area of Allah, everything goes. All it didn't break down because the kula is not still light. Says the Ramban, that Gemara has no bearing whatsoever on our discussion. The Balmor is making up Yesh Me'ayin that we're going to make up a new kula because Chasam Shir Sof Yonis being potter by boar mehechetes. So the Ramban vehemently opposed the Balmor's pshat in that Gemara. And he says it's not borne out by Rashi. Rashi, the test of the base, is the exact opposite, based on the Ramban's raffle down away from the Rashi. So, of course, the Ramban is faced with a big challenge. What's the Ramban's challenge now? It's very easy to address the Balamor, but what does he have to explain? He has to explain what's going on in the base. So, what happened? He lost Mashiach, somebody else is missing in action. What happened to it? We have to say, come back, find out what happened to the philosophy of Shiva Sofi Yonis according to the Ramban. So we only gave one shot. We have at least six or seven other shots, impossible. So we got things up our sleeve. Hopefully, that's